continue our worship, we'll sing one stanza only, please, of The Woman's Hymn. May we stand, please, as we sing.
Come, women, I proclaim life to yourself. Sing, sing evermore. Christ, God's effulgence bright, rise to a rose in light, rise to crumbs with light, praise on.
For her solo this morning, Mrs. Max T. Ward has chosen, Here Am I, Lord, Send Me.
Hark the voice of Jesus calling.
Will Mrs. Eugene Webb and her mother please go to the information desk at once? And also Mrs. Charles Moore, will she go to the information desk at once? I will ask Mrs. C.O. Smith, Vice President from Georgia, to occupy the chair.
Good
First of all, let me reassure you, if you've had any doubts, that this is one message that may be adjusted. In fact, this is the only message that could have been adjusted any time during this annual meeting. This speaker stands before you this morning because of the vote of the Executive Board of Women's Missionary Union, and for no other reason. And because of that, I think that I should ask the members of the Executive Board, which includes the Executive Secretaries and all of the Youth Directors, to stand, that you may put the blame where it belongs. At least you see they're right down here in front, backing me up. I want to remind you also that this morning I am speaking for two. For I'm speaking for myself and for Miss Alma Hunt. I wanted her to share in this message, for as we went around the world last summer, spending almost 4 months visiting our mission fields, we always spoke together, first one and then the other. Sometimes I spoke first, and sometimes Miss Hunt spoke first. It all depended upon the way that we felt for that day, for they left it up to us. At this moment, I assure you that I should like to call upon Miss Alma Hunt to come and take her place. But if I were to do that, I know that this is one time that she would refuse. Last summer, in the first part of August, we were in our girls' school in Agbar, Nigeria, West Africa. We went into one of the rooms of the training school, and there we saw a beautiful map hanging upon the wall. That map was from Britain. We stood and looked at it. We decided that we had never seen a more beautiful map, and the caption on the map caught our attention, for it meant much to us, having traveled 3 months through the Orient and through the Near East and into Africa. The caption on that map was the subject for my message this morning, This Turning World. As we stood and looked at it, we reminded ourselves that it had been turning very, very fast for us during the days and weeks that had preceded that visit there in Agbar. We had found that this world was turning in many ways, some of which we had known about, others that we had only heard about. Recently, I attended a comic opera on the campus where I live most of the time, and it had a rather silly, light strain running all the way through it. It went something like this. This silly old world is turning round and round, and all the people on it are going up, up, and down. Well, I think that that's the way we felt as we stood there in the schoolroom there in Agbar, Nigeria. For we had been going around and around as we had been traveling around the world and going up, 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 and down, down, down in more kinds of planes than I have time to describe to you this morning, from the large, large airliners to a little one-motored Cessna plane chartered by our missionaries in East Africa to help us catch up with our schedule because our airliner out of Egypt was non-existent. And so we traveled for 1,000 miles with that pilot, a Mennonite, who almost became a Baptist as he attended Baptist meetings with us throughout East Africa and into Central Africa. But oh, how good God was to us to cause us to have a non-existent plane, for we were able, by going on that little one-motored plane, to land on strips that were not there, to go down to the ground and see the animals of Africa, and to pass by Mount Kilimanjaro, flying to the side of it for more than 1 hour, seeing her in all of her snow-covered beauty, which we would not have seen had we gone on that airliner through East Africa. And so we were grateful that we had an opportunity to go in a little one-motored plane strapped in around our shoulders as well as our waist and warned over and again that we must not unstrap a single thing. Well, as we went... We could tell you so many things about what we saw. We could tell you about some beasts that we didn't know about that we saw in Africa, and I don't think you've ever heard about them either. Have you ever heard about the wild beasts and the heart of beasts and all those beasts? We never had, or at least I never had. And so as we went through Africa, books came alive. They became real. As we saw that country about which we had dreamed for so long, we saw those beautiful, beautiful countries as we went from one to the other. But we started this journey as we went around this turning world in the Orient, as we flew in over Tokyo, looking out of the window, eager to see our very first sight. We saw those little Japanese sampans floating there in the bay like a picture which we had seen on the wall. It was a gorgeous day when we arrived in Tokyo, and we met there what we were to meet at every place where we landed, a group of missionaries and Baptist Christians with corsages and flowers in hand to tell us that they were glad to see us. It was a good thing they met us, because we left home in such a hurry from the annual meeting last year that we did not have any street numbers nor telephone numbers. We only had box numbers, and we wondered many times what we would do if we arrived and no missionary was there. Well, the only thing we could have done would have been to write a letter and just wait till it got into the box. And then they could have come out to the mission field and out to the airfield and picked us up. Literally, we had to go from place to place very, very swiftly, because it takes a long time to visit 26 countries in the Orient, in the Near East, and in Africa. We did not have enough time to spend in each country to visit all of our missionaries, all of our churches, all of our schools, and all of our hospitals. But we had written ahead of time that we did not want any time to rest. We wanted to see all the mission fields. We didn't know what that meant when we wrote the letters, but they took us up on it. And so we went from WMU meeting to WMU meeting, from church meeting to church meeting, from city to city and town to town and country to country. But it was wonderful. As we went into those WMU meetings throughout Japan for 9 days, one every day, we learned something that we were to see for the rest of our journey. For in that very first meeting, we saw stretched there above the heads of those who were in charge the watchword of Woman's Missionary Union, "Laborers together with God," in Japanese. And on one side, we saw the watchword for last year. And as the audience stood to begin the meeting, they sang, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." And so it went around the world, in every country, in every church. We saw our watchword in the language of that country. We saw our permanent watchword. We saw our watchword for the year. We heard, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," sung in every language of every country that we visited. It was simply glorious. As we went from Japan to Korea, we saw beautiful Mount Fuji. We had been told that we would not see it, but we did. In fact, the Lord let us see everything that we wanted to see. We saw Victoria Falls, Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Fuji. We saw all the wonderful sights of the world that we had longed to see, as well as seeing our missionaries and our work. The work in Korea saddened our hearts for many reasons. Korea is a heartbroken country. It is a war-torn country. It is a country filled with refugees, a country filled with tents and dirt and filth. Around our hospital, it crowds up to the very doors of the hospital, and the gates must be opened to allow the visitor to enter. But oh, we had such wonderful meetings in Korea, beginning in Seoul, going on to Taejon and down to Busan. Those women of Korea, so gentle, so good to us. Two of them sitting up all night one night to make dresses for us that we might preach in on Sunday morning in two of their churches. Oh, they billet out just like this as they put them on us on Sunday morning at 10:30. And they were like little children as we walked into the services, all sitting on the floor waiting to hear the two visitors from America. We went to a little tent church in Korea that we shall never forget. We went inside, and there the people sat on the dirt floor. It was raining that night, not very hard, a good thing, for the tent roof was filled with holes, and the water came gently through. But the pastor announced that night that they were to have a new church built from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering of 1958. Our missionaries can stand on the street corners and open God's word and read, or they can show movies of the life of Christ, or they can preach. And the people by the hundreds come in Korea to hear the gospel. The doors are wide open, but no young people are volunteering to go to Korea. What an opportunity we are missing. And in all the world, the people of Korea can out-sing all the rest. Dr. Ray, I wish you could go to Korea. You think these women can sing, but you ought to hear the Koreans as they sing the hymns of our church. It was thrilling and wonderful. It's a temptation to stay too long in each country. I must quickly say that in Taiwan and in Hong Kong and in Malaya, we found some of the most wonderful leaders that it has ever been our privilege to meet. Women who had been trained from childhood in the churches in China, for the Chinese have been scattered to Taiwan, Hong Kong, Malaya, into all of the countries of the Orient, and even down into Indonesia. And those children have grown up, and they are the young women today leading in Women's Missionary Union. We spent 2.5 days at Little Ridgecrest there in Taipei. And there we heard the best explanations, Ms. McMurray, I'm sorry to say, of the aims for advancement that we've ever heard in all of our lives. The young woman who led in the panel discussion explaining the aims for advancement was elected president of the Women's Missionary Union of Taiwan, which grew out of that 2.5 day conference spent there at Little Ridgecrest on the mountainside in Taipei. How do we take time to tell you this morning about all that we might say about Hong Kong, to go to Happy Valley Cemetery and to see there the grave of Henrietta Hall Shook, to tell you about our visit to the Henrietta School and to Hong Kong Baptist College and to Poy Do, where we participated in the dedication service of the beginning of the new building, the anniversary building, for you know they celebrate their anniversaries along with us. And when we are 75 years old, Poy Do will also be 75 years old. But they celebrate a little oftener than we do, and so they were beginning a 70th anniversary building, and we had a part in the dedication service of that building. We saw many exciting things in that beautiful city of Hong Kong. Miss Martha Franks had said us that it was a had told us that it was a shopper's paradise. It was true. We just didn't have quite enough money to make it paradise for us. But it was wonderful to see the beautiful things there in the shops in Hong Kong. It was also marvelous to visit in those churches, established some of them back in China, and begun again in the city of Hong Kong. One of the most thrilling experiences we had was to go with Dr. Sam Rankin down into the streets at night and see the hundreds and hundreds of refugees who live on the sidewalks of Hong Kong. It was terribly hot when we were there. Never in our lives had we seen it so hot. And there the people lived in just little squared sections divided by tow sacks or corrugated boxes or some sort of a partition. And there they live and breathe and have their being, bathing their children, cooking their food, sleeping, living day and night. Living like animals and yet preferring to live like animals on the streets of Hong Kong in freedom than to live in slavery in communist China. We went to Macau, and there at the gate that divides Macau from China, we saw the red flags waving and saw the guards with arms ready to keep us out. We looked across the water, and there we saw the patrol boats going up and down. We saw the long, low cell-like buildings where the people who live in communist China must live separated from their children, working day and night for just enough to eat and drink. We came to realize as we looked over into China what communism really means, as it has separated those who prefer freedom to those who live in slavery. Our visits to Thailand, to Vietnam, to Malaya will linger in our hearts always. We opened the work in Vietnam, you know, for the missionaries had not arrived there, that beautiful little country of Vietnam and the capital city of Saigon. We thought that Malaya was one of the most beautiful countries that we visited as we went from place to place, finding fine churches. And remember, we have only been there a very short time. A medical clinic. A wonderful work. We visited the first girls' auxiliary in Malaya, and we heard them quote the watchword and sing the hymn and say for us the aim of allegiance. We heard them tell about their forward steps, and one girl proudly wore her emblem. They had only been organized a little over 6.5 months. As we went from the Orient, we crossed India. I shall come back in a moment or two to tell you something about our trip to India. By the way, let me tell you that Dr. R.G. Lee's preaching next door, and he didn't start till 11:45, so you're all right. I meant to tell you that in the beginning so you could slip out and go hear him if you wanted to, but I forgot it. So now you might as well stay with me. Now, as we crossed India, I don't think that I'm going to leave Bangkok and Indonesia completely out of this, because I'm going back to those. And I realize that as I have left the Orient and leaving the Philippines, I'm leaving out so much of what some missionary is going to come up and say to me afterwards, "Oh, why didn't you mention our work there? Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could tell you about a church there in the southern part of the Philippines at Malong, where we have a little school that's a disgrace to anybody, and certainly a disgrace to Southern Baptists. But it is ministering in a wonderful way to the people who live in Malong, and our missionaries are so precious there. The books have been eaten mostly by the rats. The doors are open. No sewing machines there to teach the women how to sew. But we'll remedy that someday as we give more and more to the cooperative program and to the Light of Moon Christmas offering. But let me quickly go to the Near East, for I want to tell you that we had a part in organizing the Woman's Missionary Union of Lebanon. In 1952, I was there for the organization of the first Woman's Missionary Society in Beirut. And in 1959, we organized the Woman's Missionary Union of Lebanon with representatives of seven churches present in the First Baptist Church of Beirut. From Beirut, we went to Jerusalem, once again to walk along the paths and the streets where Jesus walked, to attempt to see the things that he saw, to feel as we went into the Garden of Gethsemane and up on the top of the Mount of Olives and stood in the garden where the tomb is located, to feel again something of what the disciples must have felt as they followed him from place to place. We looked out over the city of Jerusalem. Our missionaries from Ajalun had come down to meet us. And the grief of our hearts as we talked was that we do not have a missionary in Jerusalem. We do not have a missionary in Bethany. We do not have a missionary in Bethlehem. Why not? Because no one has volunteered to go. There's nobody there. Nobody to go. They built a big bus station right at the base of the Hill of the Skull, Golgotha, where Christ was crucified. You have to go around it now in order to see it. It means so little to those people who live there that they were willing to see that bus station erected and the buses come and go and push up against the hill all hours of the day and the night. From Jerusalem, we flew across the Sinai Peninsula to enter the continent of Africa by way of Egypt and Cairo. And we saw our first beautiful red sunset across the Nile. As we looked at the pyramids and gazed into the distance, we were remembering many things about the children of Israel. Surely God did lead them out of Egypt into the promised land, for in no other way could they have ever crossed that wilderness and been fed and cared for. We visited our little churches in the apartment houses in Cairo and went 70 miles out into the Sahara Desert to an oasis city of Fayoum, where Brother Cedric Gurgis, who is in charge of our work there under the direction of our missionaries over in Jordan and Gaza, where he built the First Baptist Church in all of Egypt. It was a thrilling experience, even though a hot one, as we drove back across the desert one Sunday afternoon about 2:30 o'clock. As we flew from Egypt to go through Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, we had time to read the material that we always found on the plains, and there we learned as we read those folders in English that we were approaching a part of the world where the temperature ranged from 52 to 72. Nobody had bothered to tell us, and if we ever knew, we had forgotten. And so you can imagine how we looked in our drip dries in the driving rain as we got off the plane in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. From there, we went on to Nairobi in Kenya, in East Africa. And there we became acquainted with our first approach to a new mission work in East Africa, a building erected to teach the women how to read and write, and the men as well, to teach them how to sew and cook and care for their children, and to teach the little children as they teach the adults. an auditorium for preaching services, rooms for Sunday school, training union, and WMU meetings and the youth organizations. We found that as we went throughout East Africa. Flying from Nairobi, we went to Dar es Salaam, and from there to Mombasa. In Dar es Salaam, we went with our missionaries out to the graveyard where W. O. Harper lies buried. And there we had a little service, putting flowers on his grave. It was one of the most touching services that we were in all of our missionary journey. We saw into the hearts of our missionaries there as they paid tribute to that wonderful, wonderful man, one of those first three who opened the work in East Africa, who drowned there one evening in a little picnic meeting held by our missionaries to honor the coming of the Lorne Browns, who were to work in the hospital up at Umbeya. From there to Mombasa, to the dedication of the First Baptist Church of Mombasa, built in a coconut grove. Oh, it is beautifully located. Those African cities are so lovely to see from the air as well as from the ground. You see the red roofs and the white stucco houses and all in between the thatched roofs and the mud houses painted white, and the coconut trees and the beautiful blue Indian Ocean. And there we found the First Baptist Church of Mombasa. Started a little more than a year before we arrived under a mahogany tree, and the congregation soon spread out from under the shade of the tree, and so they rented a little house, a little old, worn-out African house, and from there they had moved to the little church, which we were to dedicate on a Saturday afternoon, with the services to follow on Sunday morning. That little white stucco church, I can see it now, with a cross in the front, in that acre of coconut trees overlooking the beautiful Indian Ocean. Well, the old chief of Mombasa came to the dedication service. He spoke in perfect English as he greeted everyone. And then he turned and asked us to thank the people at home for sending our missionaries to Mombasa. For, said he, they have lived lives in our community that teach us how to live. And we are grateful for them and their lives and for this church. And so you thank your friends at home who have made possible their coming in the building of this church. And then that old Muslim ruler of Mombasa sat down on the platform, which the missionaries had not expected, and heard a sermon preached for the first time in all his life.